Welcome to the Plenteous Redemption Podcast, where the cross and the culture are on a collision course for discussion.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Now, here's your host, Thomas Ervin.
We are continuing our study on basic Bible doctrine, and we're going to be talking today about the Holy Spirit again, this time his role in the new birth. And when we get to the verses that we need to look at, we'll start in Matthew 19. So if you'd like to go there and wait, I got a brief introduction and then we'll jump in the verses. The Christian life begins with the new birth. Like that, if you don't have a new birth, you're not a Christian. I know a lot of people call a lot of things Christianity, and that just shows the confusion about Christianity. But if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian. It's not even an option for you. It's not possible. Now, being born again is both fundamental and foundational Bible doctrine. Understanding this doctrine helps the new Christian place certain truths in perspective. It will separate you from certain religious notions. It'll protect you from them. When you recognize there is an entry into the Christian life that can only be granted by God, and it is given by proper approach to God, it limits your ability to be swayed by false religion. When you know that I can only come to God through Jesus Christ, and somebody comes and says, you know, are you keeping this list of religious steps? You say, for what? That's not the way to God. It's not going to please God. That's not what we're looking for. The power of this new birth is available to us through the gospel, but the works within the new birth are performed by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ made it available through his death, burial, and resurrection, but then ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit down. And now that work of salvation is heavily dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The finished work of Christ made this new birth available, basically what I just said, and the Holy Spirit performs the operations necessary for us to be born again. Another term related to the new birth is the word regeneration. And we talked about Matthew 19 not long ago in the Kingdom of Heaven versus Kingdom of God class. This word is mentioned twice in the Bible, and though we briefly covered this in that class, we're going to look at it again real quick. Look at Matthew 19, verses 27 through 30. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and last shall be first. So the idea here is that there's coming a day when the earth itself will be regenerated. It will be made new. It will be nothing like it is today. It'll be completely changed and made over in righteousness. But turn to Titus chapter 3. So that's the regeneration of the earth. But then there is a work the Holy Spirit does in us that is also called regeneration. And that's ultimately we want to trouble ourselves with this evening. Titus 3, verses 1 through 7. Verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Okay, now you notice how often the Bible lists these lists of sins and says, oh, it's such a blessing that that's what you used to do and that's what you used to be, but you're not that anymore. Well, what made the difference? Well, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now, did you catch a little nuanced detail there? Look back at verse 4, but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior. You see that? Look at verse 6, which shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So who is Jesus Christ? He's God. That's directly telling you that Jesus Christ is God. And that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, piecing cross references together with what you know about eternal life, how do we get eternal life? You must be born again. You have to be saved. You must believe in the gospel. You must trust in the gospel. All right, so if the washing of regeneration that comes by the grace and mercy of God gives us eternal life, then what is that? It's the new birth. It's that regeneration. I'm regenerating you, recreating you. So this is a reference to the regeneration of a person and what we often call the second birth. And it's essential. You have no access to the Christian life without it. This is the starting point of Christianity and required to enter the Christian life. The regeneration is required in order to enter the kingdom of God. All right, we've seen that several times looking at our different studies on the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God. The only way in is through Jesus Christ. You must be born again, regardless of your cultural background. None of that's going to help you. If you tell somebody, well, I grew up in a Christian home, well, that's not going to get you into the kingdom of God. That's not going to get you the new birth. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can provide that new birth, and he will only grant it to you when you trust in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This requires a deliberate choice on behalf of the individual to trust the Lord for themselves. All right, so if I said, well, I have a Christian family, well, praise the Lord. They might be Christian in ideology. Maybe you have established a Christian atmosphere in your home, but they are not Christians until they individually make the choice to trust in Jesus Christ. And you don't want to make the mistake of confusing that. Once this person chooses to trust in Christ, then the Holy Spirit performs a series of miraculous works on their behalf. And here's just a few of them. You're born again, what we call the second birth or the regeneration. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. You're baptized by the Spirit, putting you into the body of Christ, into the church. You're endued with power to be a witness and to tell people about Jesus Christ. The Comforter is given to you. That's just a short list, and I'm sure it could go on and on and on and on, all the things. The Holy Spirit intercedes on your behalf and prays in ways that you can't pray for yourself. So the Holy Spirit does many wonderful things for us. Look at John chapter 1. John 1, verses 11 through 13. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him. Now, do you see the use of that word, received? Now, this is just, it's an important note of distinction, and it is important to bring up. It's not worth fighting over, but it is important to clarify. Christians often say, you know, when somebody says, okay, well, how do I have my sins forgiven? They'll say you need to accept Christ. Well, that's not biblical terminology. In the Bible, you're told to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He doesn't need your acceptance. You need his, right? The Bible says after you trust in Jesus Christ, then at that time, you are accepted in the beloved, right? But at no point does it tell you, you need to be accepting of Jesus. You need to receive him. And that means as he is, what he is, you take it. You don't say, well, let me see if this is acceptable to me. And then if it's acceptable, then I'll bring him into my life and set him up on my shelf right next to Buddha. That's not going to work. When you receive him, you take him into your life with the understanding that everything else must go, that you are receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's an important distinction. But when somebody tells me, when I say, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Okay, how did you get saved? I accepted Jesus Christ. What I will usually ask them is, what does that mean? Because that's not in the Bible. It doesn't exist in the Word of God. And that terminology is so widely used in so many different religions that it really doesn't mean anything. And it depends on how that person explains to me what they mean by that. If in some way they explain to me that I've trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to some extent, it doesn't have to be perfect, all right? So we don't want to make the mistake of saying, if you don't know the gospel perfect to the T with, you know, perfect theological terms and all that, then you're not saved. But that's not the case. If they can express to you that what they are trusting is in some way how that Christ died for their sins, then they're moving in the right direction. Maybe help them out if they won't help and clarify their terminology if you can. Otherwise, leave them alone. Don't badger them because they didn't say things the way you thought they should say them. It'd be nice if they use proper terminology, but that's not always going to be the case. They may not know the proper terminology to use. They may have trusted in Jesus Christ. They might be in a shallow church. They may not be in church. There's a number of reasons why they might be using the terms they're using, but can express to you to some extent that what I am trusting is what Jesus did on the cross. And that's what the Bible requires. All right, so when they say, I've accepted Jesus, well, great. What does that mean exactly? And let them tell you. And if it's, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Catholic. My dad's a preacher. None of that is going to help you. All right. But if it's Jesus died for my sins and rose again the third day, some form of that, then praise the Lord. Rejoice with them. And then move on to somebody who needs to hear what you have to say. So back to verse 12 in, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So what does it mean to receive him? It means to believe on his name. But to as many as received him, they got this power in exchange for receiving him. Well, what does it mean to receive him? Even to them who believe on his name. That's what that receiving is. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All right? That birth is required for you to see the kingdom of God, for you to have your sins forgiven, for you to have your soul saved, for you to get into the body of Christ, for you to any of the spiritual aspects of New Testament salvation, it all starts with that birth. You have to have it. In fact, the next place we're going is John 3. Go ahead and turn to John 3, and we'll further expound upon this. You'll see Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's not an option to say, well, you know, I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good. You're not doing good. You're not doing good at all. You need Jesus Christ. You need a complete remodel. You don't need to fix some things up and so you just add a little bit of Jesus. You need whatever you are, your temple, to be torn down and reborn by the work of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way that you can get what you need outside of that. And so in John 3, we'll read quite a lengthy portion here about Jesus talking to Nicodemus and specifically about the new birth. There was a man, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, aren't those nice things to say about Jesus? Don't you think the Catholic would agree with those? Absolutely. Wouldn't the Russian Orthodox Church agree with what that man just said? Absolutely. Would the Jehovah's Witnesses agree with that? Absolutely. The Mormons would agree with that. Even Islam has many nice things to say about Isa, who they claim to be Jesus Christ, or they say that Isa is the Christ. In the Bible, Christ means Messiah, which means he's the King of the Jews. Now, they wouldn't be too excited about that, or if they knew that that's what they were saying, they'd probably change it. But they all these religions, even Gandhi, walking around in his little, you know, cloth diaper, said nice things about Jesus Christ, right? None of that is going to get you to heaven. They all had wonderful things to say about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. Many of you probably have gathered by now, I'm not big on holidays. But at the same time, I am thankful to be in a country that if they're going to celebrate pagan holidays, at least they choose the ones that have some attachment to the name of Jesus Christ. And that at least twice a year, they are more open and friendly and receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful we're not celebrating the birth of Muhammad. Nobody told you to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and it's strangely intertwined with Catholicism and paganism, but at least twice a year, they're talking about the name of Jesus Christ, and not Muhammad or Buddha or Confucian or whoever else. All right, so it's one of those things where you want to attack it because of its pagan roots, but at the same time, it's like, well, twice a year, people got to hear the name of Jesus that don't want to hear the name of Jesus, and it's a public thing, and so you just kind of, you know, you win some, you lose some kind of thing, you just move on. Nicodemus said great things about Jesus. What was Jesus' response? Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Lord said, thanks, I appreciate it. It's not going to help you. If you don't get born again, if you don't trust in me, you're going to lift up your eyes in hell being in torment. And this is Nicodemus, a great religious man that was a ruler in the Jewish religion. And the Lord said, you got to be born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh, now when he makes that notation there about the flesh, that's directly related to being born of water, is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit, all right, that links us back to being born of the Spirit. Two births are required. You can't have the second birth unless you've had the first birth, because if you haven't had the first birth, you don't exist. You have to have that fleshly birth, that first birth, in order for you to exist in the world. Once you exist in the world, you become a creature to whom we are responsible to preach the gospel, and then you are required to believe that gospel, and if you do, then you get the second birth. You will be born again, and your sins will be forgiven, your soul will be saved, all those wonderful things. Now, verse 7, the Lord continues, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And this is, again, this is a beautiful testimony to the language of the King James Bible. Look at verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee. All right, now I've told you, and many of you already know, that thee, thou, thine are always singular pronouns. Always. So when the Bible uses it and you're trying to gather the context as to who's being spoken to, the Lord just said, marvel not that I say unto thee. You, the individual, I'm talking to one person. But then when he gives the final statement, he says, marvel not that I said unto thee that ye must be born again. Now the ye, you, and your is always plural. So the Lord's telling the individual, everybody must be born again. Nobody is excluded. So I'm telling you and I'm telling everybody else, you must be born again. Now that this is It's an illustration as to how much our language has degraded, because we only use you and your. I mean, that's it. We don't use any other form of those words. technically, when you say, hey, you, you're using a plural term. Now, we don't use it that way anymore, so nobody recognizes that. But technically, in the English language, when you use you and your, you're talking to a plurality of people, not an individual. And so it doesn't make sense. Well, we have that in the Bible, and it helps us narrow down the context of what's being said so that it makes sense. And it helps us discern what the Lord's talking about. So he told him, you must be born again. It's not an option. You can be as nice to me as you want. You can say wonderful things about me. In fact, one day during judgment, a group of people are going to come to him and say, Lord, Lord, look at all the wonderful works we did in thy name. And he's going to say, depart from me. I don't know you. I have no idea who you are. No idea what you're talking about, why you're calling my name. Get out. And so you don't want to be left standing that way. Now, look at verse 8. Verse 8 is an interesting verse. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. All right, now you think about the wind. You go stand outside, and all of a sudden a gust of wind comes. Where'd that come from? I didn't even see it coming. Well, you're not going to see it coming. But you know it's there. You felt it blow through. Well, where's it going now? Well, you assume it's going that way, but that doesn't mean it can't turn, you know, a few feet from you and head in a different direction, and you don't know. But does the wind exist? Yeah. Of course it does. And so then here comes a man that you know to be a drunkard, you know to be a drug addict, you know to have all sorts of problems in his life, and he comes walking down the road, and he's dressed well, he's clean, he's organized, he's gotten his life together, and you start looking at him, you say, well, that's not how I remember you. You used to look like a bum, you used to look like a crackhead. I mean, you were all messed up. What happened? And that's what people ask. What changed? And so what you're looking at is a man who has been born of the Spirit, and a change has taken place in his life. And because of the change that took place, you can't fully describe what you're seeing in front of you, how clean he is, how organized his life is now, and he's moving in the right direction and doing well. And so you're looking at him, you're saying, I can't explain it, just like you can't explain the wind. And the Lord said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Lord, what are you talking about? I know I said all those nice things when I first got here. I might have to take those back. I don't know what you're talking about right now. And verse 10, we get into some scary words. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know and testify what that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. That's terrible. That's horrible news. The Lord just said about Nicodemus, I testified to you, I gave you my witness and my testimony of the truth that I came to deliver to you, truth I got from my Father in heaven, and you will not receive it. That's not good for Nicodemus. Verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Why not? But that the world through him might be saved. Why didn't he come to condemn it? Why did he come to save it? Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The world is already in a state of condemnation. He didn't have to come to condemn it. It's just waiting to die, and then it'll be plunged into that condemnation. That condemnation will be carried out. It already belongs to him, so the way to get out of that condemnation is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where it continues, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. All right, so this is a work of God. You've got to have the Holy Spirit perform this work in your life and in you. Otherwise, you have no hope. You have no chance. You need to be born of the Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. And that's what we know as the second birth. That's why this division between the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are so important. The only way into the kingdom of God is through the new birth. I mean, there are many ways into the kingdom of heaven. It's not as cut and dry as the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is heavily guarded by God. You're not getting in unless you trust in Jesus Christ, and he gives you this new birth, makes you a new creature that is capable of being in the kingdom of God because you've been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's no other way for that to happen, and it is at this point entirely a work of the Holy Spirit, and we need him to perform that. Amen. Amen. Father, we sure love you and thank you so much for this good day you've given us. Lord, we sure pray for all who are sick, and pray you'd help them along. There's so much to do and so much on each of our plates in this life, and being sick just sure bogs things down and makes things more difficult. And sure pray you'd help and guide and lead and give wisdom and good favor as we try and handle these things. And we'll sure thank you for it. And I pray you bless everybody here who came. And Lord, just help them as they go about their daily lives and have your way. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can learn more about our ministry by visiting www.plenteousredemption.com. You can hear more Plenteous Redemption podcast audio at www.plenteousredemption.media. Please comment below if this podcast has been a help to you. Also, inform us of future topics that would interest you. Thank you again for listening to the Plenteous Redemption podcast.